Welcome to the latest episode of Connect Ed Tech,
a podcast where the E and D may or may not stand for Elizabeth
and Daryl. All right, season 2, episode 2. Hello, Connect Ed Techers. We are back and ready for action. This is episode 7, our 7th episode.
You just said it was episode
Lucky 2. Lucky number 7. Well, season 2, episode 2, but overall, this is the 7th episode, just in case you weren't counting out there.
That's right, Daryl.
It's your boy, Daryl.
It's your boy.
That's what every YouTuber does now. And it's your girl.
Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Liz Dog.
Oh.
That's my rapper name.
How do you spell dog?
D-A-W-G.
That's what I thought. All right. Here we go.
That's what I thought.
Who do we have?
T-H-A-W-T.
T-H-W-T. T-H-A-W-T. Like, so what? Okay. Who do we have today?
We have one of our very new and good ed tech friends, Meredith Akers. She's going to be joining us later through Zoom, all the way from SciFair ISD. Not too far away.
Not too far.
Yeah.
But I don't, just in case they haven't seen our swag.
Yeah, maybe we should stand up and show them our shirts.
Every day. Okay, I gotta say that. Are we still in frame? I hope so.
We're in frame.
Every episode, we tend to have a different shirt. And I don't know if our guests, other viewers out there can, you know, guess the reference. Maybe these little squares in our friends here, maybe they'll get it now.
Maybe if you say friends one more time, they'll
friends,
get it.
What if we say it?
What if we don't sing it?
There's a lot of songs about
it. What if
friends?
We pop some umbrellas up and have a fountain?
That's bad. No, that's bad luck.
Yeah, in honor of the 25th anniversary of Friends, we had t-shirts made. And these don't say Friends, even though we are friends. Mm-hmm. But they say Flippin' Good Tech, the one with the llama.
I see. I don't get that.
The you one don't with get
what?
Llama.
What? It took me a while. When I read that, I was like, okay.
Oh, wow. Sure. You are truly not a Friends fan.
But I am.
Okay, so if you watch any Friends episodes, you know that the episode titles are always the one with, or the one about, or the one yada yada yada. So that's the reference.
Did not notice that. That's some good trivia there.
You know.
You know how we do things here, and when we do these episodes, we do something fun before our interview.
We think they're fun.
I hope they do too.
I do too.
Comment if you like this. If you like the fun introductions that we do. Leave a like and
that's right.
Subscribe and comment. But, you know, I love games. Game-based learning, my thing. Gamification in the classroom. And I figured we'd play a little game today. Because, you know.
We like games.
Yeah. And this is actually a game that you introduced to me.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
It's called Word Sneak. So, if you are a Jimmy Fallon fan, you probably know this game. But just to keep it short, how this game works, we're going to have 6 random words. Well, not really random. I created these words for you.
Do we have 6 or 5? We did 6.
We did 6. Okay. But we get to choose 5 because this episode is all about
choice,
okay?
And personalization.
And personalization. We're throwing all those buzzwords out
and
there.
And friends.
And friends.
Okay. And connecting.
And connecting. And we're just going to keep naming
random
stuff.
Let's just get to the game.
That was the game. We're done.
So how does the game work?
Okay.
What are we going to do?
The game works. So... I put 6 random words in a program we call Flippity.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk more about Flippity later on. But it's a great tool, by the way.
Great.
I could go on, I could have a whole episode about
and
it.
And it's free.
It's free, 90 free. So Flippity. So 6 random words that I created for you, and you also created 6 words for me.
I did.
And we've never seen these words at all.
No, we haven't.
No. So we're gonna try to incorporate these words in our conversation.
Very casually.
Very casually. And I
but
promise.
In context.
In context. That's important. You can't just say, yeah, this word is in the dictionary. No, it has to be, with context. And I think we should talk about what? Friends. We'll have a topic.
What's the topic?
Friends.
Okay.
Oh, we'll just see how it goes. Because it's right. Improv.
Well,
everybody.
You're starting the game, so I'm just curious to see how this is
going
to
go. Oh, goodness. It's improv. I told myself, we're just going to keep going. And I'm not going to edit any of it. So what you see...
Unless it goes over 5 minutes.
What you see is what you get. All right? So let's start this game. There's a document. You're going to click on that link right there. And you're going to get random words in flashcard form. Because we're using which tool? We're using Flippity. So don't click on this link, Daryl. Okay, I'm clicking on it now. All right. So I'm going to put 2 minutes on the clock. And we're going to ramble on for 2 minutes using the words... on this list. Okay, so here you go. Starting in 3, 2, 1. Here we go. So you sent me a test to take today, this morning.
You did.
A personality test. Mm-hmm. When I saw that test, I thought I knew. It's who we're gonna, which friend's character we most resemble.
Right.
And I just really wanted to throw a banana peel out there and just slip because I.
Because
I didn't know what to do.
Because you're not familiar with Friends.
I'm not very familiar with Friends.
Okay, my question is, did you take the test?
I took the test.
Okay, and what were the results?
The results. the results.
If only there was some way for us to have like an overhead projector where we could put the words that we're seeing on the screen up here for you.
We can make that happen.
That would be amazing.
At the same time, we can also spin around this hula hoop. Yeah. But anyways, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna pretend I'm using a hula hoop the whole entire. Undulating in my chair.
I feel like I just landed in Area 51. Yeah, and aliens
I know.
Are just gonna like drop from
you
the
know,
sky.
So you weren't there to raid it, okay? Okay, so here I am. I don't want to. It's a touchy subject, but recently I had to use a kayak in my front yard. I had trash cans floating in my front yard. But anyways, besides that, when I took the test, I couldn't believe that my character that I most resemble was Monica Geller.
Mm-hmm.
I would have not pegged myself to be Monica. Uh-huh.
Why would you not peg yourself to be Monica? Because you don't wear pantaloons?
I thought Monica wore pantaloons. Wasn't there an episode that she and the rest of the crew were doing the polka?
The polka. Wow. The polka, maybe. I recall a specific episode, but I think they were doing the Cupid Shuffle.
Well,
not
bad. That was the end of two minutes. How did that go? Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad. But that was a fun little
game. That was fun. Did you have any words left?
I had the Jonas Brothers. I was going to segue into like, I'm a mm-hmm. sucker for you type of thing.
I had Nutella.
Nutella, yeah.
Oh, I was definitely going to be able to work
Ready.
That one in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hoopla.
Hoopla.
This is a whole lot of hoopla going on here.
Well, those 2 minutes went by pretty fast.
Yeah, they did.
And I think I worked out my core because I forgot I was going to
For sure.
use a hula hoop.
But it's a fun game. I love Word Sneak. And Jimmy Fallon, if you've ever seen that on his show, he brings in all these different stars and celebrities, and they play this game on there. It's a really fun game, but it's also a really good learning experience for the students to find out what they really know about these words and context.
Right. And it really kept me on my toes. I had no idea which word was going to come up next. And then carrying the conversation and trying to figure out, okay, so how can I use this word in our...
I would love to know from our viewers who did it better. So it's kind of like that who wore it best, who wore it better. Who did Word Sneak better? Daryl? Or me? We don't have Jace here to do rock, paper, scissors or anything like that today.
Right.
But maybe you could put a comment. Yeah.
Please do.
Yeah.
Comment, subscribe.
Tweet, something. And let us know. Because I feel like it was
dislike.
Me. I feel like it was me. I don't know.
You know what? We're competitive, like Monica's competitive.
We are competitive, and we were both Monicas on that personality.
Actually, right. You got it, and you got Monica as well.
Yeah,
interesting.
Very,
maybe it's our OCD.
A little bit OCD. All right, well, that was really fun, Daryl. Thanks for introducing
uh-huh.
that game.
Thank you.
We used it with Flippity.net, that free tool online, but you can also do this with index cards. It doesn't have to be fancy,
mm-hmm.
but there will be a little bit of a tutorial I think Daryl's going to put together
okay.
and have for you on Flippity.net and how to use that in your own classrooms. But we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back in just a few minutes with our wonderful new friend,
uh-huh.
Meredith Akers.
All
Stay
right.
tuned.
You can find all things related to the Connect EdTech podcast by visiting our website, flippinggoodtech.com. And while you're there, make sure to click on all the tabs for a closer look at who we are and why we're passionate about everything we do.
And most importantly, be sure to follow us at Flippin' Good Tech on all social media platforms and subscribe to our YouTube channel for quick access to all the latest podcast episodes, Connect EdTech promos, and Flippin' 5 Tech Tips.
And we're back with season 2, episode 2. And we've got one of our really good new friends with us today, Meredith Akers. She's an administrator in Cyfair ISD. And we are so happy to have her joining us today. Hi, Meredith.
Guys, thank you so much for having me. It is such an honor.
Oh,
all
the
honor
ours.
Is ours. You read my mind.
Too much time together. So before we get started about what you do and how you are able to impact the world of educational technology, we want to talk about how we first met you, because we're new friends, pretty much.
Yes.
So we were back at Google Summit in May in San Antonio.
Time does fly. Yep.
And we both had sessions there. And the one session that I happened to be facilitating, Daryl was in with me taking pictures. And he was going around taking video. And I don't remember the conversation, but I just remember some lady, some really cool lady, standing up in the middle of the room just dancing.
You really made that video. I think that video went viral because of that. And we're like, who is this lady? Oh my gosh.
What is she?
I'm pretty sure you guys said, come on, dance. And so I was like, all right, let's do it.
You went for it. Not shy at all.
It was impressive. Yeah. So later, Daryl says, hey, do you know who that was? I'm like, no. But we followed you. So we did know. Yeah, so we're just like, she's cool. We gotta get connected with her.
I loved that session. You guys, amazing job. Elizabeth facilitated. Daryl, you did the videoing of the dancing, but I haven't gotten the chance to hear you present yet, Daryl. Although you guys came out and presented in SciFair ISD, where I work, at our digital learning conference, and several of my teachers at my school talked about y'all's sessions and how great they were.
Oh my God.
So I haven't gotten to go myself, but I've heard and I've seen the notes of everybody typing. We shared our notes.
Good stuff.
Did you see the selfies with the llama?
Oh my God. Oh my goodness. Yes. I love the selfies with the llama.
People were taking selfies.
I love it. I love y'all's llama.
Does
the llama have a name?
She does.
She does.
What's this is name? Lily.
Lily, of course. Lily the llama. It makes perfect sense. Yeah.
We have a family of llamas. Our logo llama is Flip. And the big llama that's in the car with us.
Yes.
That's Tina.
You didn't leave her in the car, did you?
Maybe. No.
It's kind of hot, guys. You might need to let Tina out.
We left the AC on.
Okay.
The car's running. We're good. She didn't want to come today. I don't know why. But I don't know.
Well, let's just go ahead and dive right into this. Meredith, why don't you tell us what you do, what your role is, and then we'll just kind of go from there.
Absolutely. So I am the proud principal at Rennell Elementary in Cypress Fairbanks ISD. Mm-hmm. It is a fantastic school with an amazing staff. I am so, so blessed to be the principal there. This is my second year as principal at Rennell. I also have a blog that I post to usually every week. I post a new blog, and that is at MeredithAkers.com. And I also am the co-moderator of the TechSed chat. That's the state chat of Texas. And that happens every Wednesday night at 8:30 on Twitter. So you can check us out at the hashtag TXED for TechSed.
Wow. Nice. I like plug in for her blog. Your blog is amazing.
Oh, thank you so much.
I get inspired by a lot of your posts there.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
And there are people over here in Umpel, where we work, who follow you and read your blogs. I mean, we hear your name a lot.
That's awesome, really, because cool. I have to say, truly and honestly, every week when I go to hit posts, I'm always like, I don't know. This might be dumb. Everyone in my world might think,
no.
Why did she post that? That is
never.
But you know, I think anybody that has a blog probably feels that way. Like, is this good enough to share with the world? But it's amazing to hear positive feedback. So thank you for that. I really appreciate that.
We're glad nothing stops you. I saw one post you had about bubbles, like self-control with bubbles. I thought that was amazing. Even as a high school teacher, I mean, working in high school, we can do this with our high schoolers. So.
Right. Every kid needs a little lesson on self-control, and bubbles are fun. Who doesn't want to pop a bubble?
No kidding. Oh my gosh. So I guess you saw our t-shirts, right?
I did. I noticed your t-shirts. I love, of course, Flip and Good Tech, but I noticed that it was in the Friends font.
Yes. We had a friend of ours make these for us. And just kind of in honor of the Friends anniversary, the 25th anniversary. That we talked earlier about, like, which Friends personality we would most connect with. And we took a little quiz.
We did.
Both of us, a Friends quiz, to see who we were most alike. And ironically, we were the same person.
I would have never imagined.
I would have not guessed it.
The test. I was completely same honest person. With the test. We were the same person. And I took it a second time. It's like, okay, what's my second best answer? And it came up the same person. I don't know. You want to guess? You want to guess who our person is?
Who do I think your person is? Well, you're both really outgoing. So that makes me think of like maybe Rachel, because you're both really outgoing.
Ooh. Well, you know, Jennifer Aniston. No, not quite. Wasn't Jennifer Aniston. No,
it wasn't Jennifer Aniston. I don't, tell me who you guys are.
just tell me.
On three. 1, 2, 3. Monica.
Okay, I was going to say, okay, my next guest is who I think I am, which is Monica.
Okay, hey, it's a Monica show.
It is.
Oh my God.
So why do you guys think you relate to Monica?
I would love to hear what you think you relate to Monica.
I don't know. I consider myself like, I think the interview's us. We're interviewing us now.
Yeah.
I
switch things around here.
Yeah, oh my gosh. So, but you're a podcast show, but I'm an extroverted introvert type of person. So I feel like that's Monica too.
Yeah,
I'm a homebody. I love, you know, being at home, but if I'm out there, I do my own thing. So
yeah, for me, I'm a little OCD, and I think I have some controlling tendencies, although I'm in denial about that. And the third one is competition.
Competition.
Super competitive, and I think that's
That's true. We're like silent competitors.
We are
like secretly. It's like,
okay, so your turn.
Yeah, okay, so similarly, I feel like I like everything a certain way as Monica does. Like, I remember one episode when Monica was babysitting and she's like teaching the baby to line up all her dolls in order. And so they'd be in height order. And I'm like, everything should have an order and should have a certain way. Like, I write my blog the same time and date every week. So I think I'm like Monica in that I like things in a certain way, in a certain order.
And we all have that one closet that we don't want anyone to go into.
Yes! Don't go in this room.
Especially right? All this, it's true. I have that one closet, the podcast here.
The junk drawer.
As long as everything looks really nice and perfect on the outside.
Right.
So this kind of relates, though, I think, because this can transfer this conversation to what you do as an educator, what we do. So talk to us a little bit about how some of these personality traits, like being kind of a perfectionist and very, very organized, transfers over into what you do as an administrator.
You know, as an administrator, we have lots of hats that we have to wear, helping with discipline, helping provide professional development for teachers, helping a parent who has a concern about their most precious treasure that they're trusting us with. If they come in the door, they want my ear. I want to be there for them as well. And so there's just lots of different hats I wear. And so in order to make that happen, I'm pretty routine. I think my staff would tell you, and the people I work very closely with here in the front office would tell you, every Thursday, Meredith always does this. And every Friday, Meredith always does this. Those consistent things that I want to make sure I get done. Like, so I want to make sure I celebrate students. And that's something that I don't ever want being too busy to get in the way of that. And so we have on the calendar every Friday from 9 to 10:30, we have Fri-yay, and that's a big celebration where the kids can teachers can send kids to the library with any celebration of academics, whether it's just a little bit of incremental growth that we want to celebrate. Hey, he did 5 points higher, or a student that's super outstanding academically and they made 100 again. Well, we can celebrate that too. So it's on the calendar. Our whole A team celebrates kiddos every Friday. So scheduling things in helps me make sure that I prioritize the things that are most important.
I love that. That you're an elementary campus. Daryl's on a high school campus. So I'm sure, I was middle school, high school before, and I'm sure they're very, very similar the way that administrators have to run things. What about your teachers? I saw something I think you tweeted it, after back to school when the teachers were coming back, and you have like the place, the cafeteria or something, like all decked out for them to welcome them, like a welcome back. So I feel like you do that for your teachers as well.
Yes, I did tweet that picture out, like right before they came in, the first day they were gonna be on campus. We had gotten together a t-shirt for every staff member, a little badge reel that has our school logo on it so they can have their, you know, their badge hanging on it. So we had a bunch of gifts, like here's just the schedule for the week. And we had tried to make it all pretty and decorated all the tables so that when they walked in, we were hoping they would have this wow moment of like, wow, I'm so glad to be back at school. Because I do believe that the leader's attitude and the leader sets the tone for our teachers, and then our teachers are the leaders of their classroom. So then they set the tone for the positivity and the culture of their classroom too, and it trickles down. And so I wanted them to know how I want to celebrate them, just like we have the Fri-yay for our students. We also, every single week, similar to Monica, how she has recipes that she follows exactly, every single week I send out a Google form for my teachers to be able to shout each other out so that we can, every week on Friday, I send those shout outs in our newsletter so that we are constantly celebrating the positive things that are going on our campus and having that opportunity to share positives with each other, because I definitely want my teachers and my staff to feel appreciated consistently, not just at the beginning of the year, although I did want them to feel that wow moment when they walked in, Elizabeth. I want them to be celebrated every single week and feel like they matter, because they do. They make a difference here.
So you've been an administrator. This is your second year as an administrator?
This is my second year as a principal. This is my 10th year as an administrator. I was an assistant principal for 8 years before that.
Got you. But you're so in tune with instruction. Like, it's like you easily transition from being in the classroom, and you're incorporating what you do in your classroom with your staff on campus.
Thank you.
The PD that you offer is very, you know, teacher and student centered. So my question, because I'm going to be honest with you, like, you really inspire me. So I've always thought, do I want to be an administrator? But I feel like being an administrator, you lose touch of what happens in the classroom. But you seem to be finding that balance so well. And you've been in administration for 10 years and you're so in tune with it. So how do you find that balance? How do you keep up with things that are amazing in the classroom? And how do you present it to your staff?
You know, I think one reason that I'm losing my train of thought, because I want to say thank you. I'm super honored that you say you see me as being still in tune with the classroom, because, you know, I haven't been the teacher of record in a class in 10 years, just like you just mentioned. And so that has been a priority, that I never want to lose sight of what it's like to be in the classroom. I never want people to feel like, I can't believe she just suggested that. That's a terrible idea. Because I've been there on that end of someone suggesting something that I think you clearly have not been in the classroom. And so I want to try to stay in tune. One way is to be in classrooms and see what teachers are doing. And a lot of times my blog posts are because a teacher mentioned, like, for example, the Bubbles blog post that you mentioned, Daryl, was a teacher at my school mentioned, man, I just feel like if my class could get self-control, we would be so far ahead, because that's like the overriding thing that they need help with. And if they got that, then I could apply that to so many different other skills. And so I just started thinking in the back burner, like, how could I help? How could I make a lesson that was about self-control? And just looking back at old notes and looking at resources and trying to put something together. And that's kind of how that blog post came about. And that lesson that I created was really for a teacher on my campus. But then I thought, hey, other teachers might be able to use this, which is why I shared it out. But I think that I prioritize not just reading books about leadership, although I do, I read a lot. And I typically read back and forth. I'll read like a book about leadership, how to be a great school leader, or just a great leader in general. But then the next book I read, I try to do like a book on real teaching strategies so that I can keep in the know. So like last year, for example, I read Bold School. And I feel like I just keep going back to that book. I love Weston Kieschnick's Bold School, because he takes, have you guys read it?
No, but it's on my list now.
Awesome. Yeah. It's so good, because he takes all of Hattie's research on what are the best instructional strategies, research proven best instructional strategies. And then he says, here's the instructional strategy defined, and here's how you could elevate it using technology. This is this awesome book that tells you not just here's a great tech tool and it's cool and so we should use tech, because that's not really a good reason to use tech because it's cool, although tech is cool and I love to use it. It's the best reason is if it elevates the learning, right?
Absolutely.
And so that's my highest recommendation right there. So books like that, or I might read another book like Visible Learning by Hattie and take one of those strategies and go, how could I just model this for my staff in a lesson? So recently at my first day back with the teachers that you mentioned, Elizabeth, I like to model before I ever ask anyone to do something. And so like I modeled using Pear Deck throughout that lesson and having teachers respond to questions using Pear Deck. And then I would put some of the answers up on the board, and I had never used Pear Deck before. And so I was honest, because something else that's important to me is I want my teachers to feel comfortable taking risks. And I feel like the best way that I can encourage them is for me to take risks and be honest about that. And so I told them, like, hey, this is my first time using Pear Deck, so be patient with me. And, like, you know, at one point I was like, hey, look, that worked, because I wanted them to see that, like, hey, I'm not perfect at everything the first try. This is my first try. And I think it's okay for teachers to say, hey, this is my first time using this. Let's try this together. Let's take a risk together. And then, of course, after that meeting, without me saying, everybody, you should be doing this strategy, a lot of teachers were like, tell me more about Pear Deck. Do we have access to that? Because I think when you see something being used effectively, at least me, that inspires me to want to try it. However, when I go to a meeting and someone says, you should do this, that is less inspiring. I don't really want to do it.
Gosh, you hit on so many things I want to, like, follow up with that I'm going to have to
And I talked
really...
too much. I'm sorry.
No, keep going. I'm like, I should be taking notes right now. No, but I'm absorbing everything. I forgot we're filming, so I can watch this again later.
We can rewind it. No, but it was so good. But I feel like part of it, too, is that you really make an intentional effort to build those relationships with the teachers and the students on your staff. And with the idea of personalization and personalized PD and personalized learning being so big in education and so worthwhile, I think that as leaders, we have to model those things in front of people for them to really wrap their heads around it. So with that in mind, what are some ways you model, obviously, but what are some ways that you actually personalize some experiences for your staff, and then they in turn may personalize those experiences for students?
Absolutely. I love this question. I love to look for ways to personalize learning for my staff. One, because yes, I want a model for them to personalize for their students, but also because if students deserve it, our staff deserves it too. Like, they deserve to have personalized learning, because not every staff member needs the same staff development. A 35-year veteran may not need the same instruction on, let's say, classroom management as a first-year brand new baby teacher, or a five-year teacher who just has the toughest class she's ever had. Those three people need different help and different instruction, and they don't need to sit in a room with the whole staff and learn the same thing. Now, if any of my staff is watching, I know we still do have whole staff meetings. I know that happens sometimes, but I do look for ways that I can personalize learning for them. One way that we do that is once a month, our staff meeting, instead of being me talking or the assistant principals talking, we do something that we call hashtag each one teach one. And I just ask for volunteers. And lucky for me, every time I always have enough volunteers. I ask for, hey, are there any teachers who would like to lead a tiny 15-minute staff development on something that you're good at? And typically every time I have exactly six or more than enough, and I say, hey, you get to lead next time. And so what they do is a 15-minute session in their own classroom, so they feel safe and comfortable, and then they do that twice. So instead of a staff meeting, we do a 15-minute session and another 15-minute session, and there's six choices. And so then each staff member that's not presenting gets two choices. They get to go to two of those six. And so it's kind of like a little mini conference, right, before school. Right. Our meetings are always before school, once a month, that they get to go, hey, I'm gonna learn from people in my building, because there's experts just down the hall from us, right? There's so many people doing amazing things. And so what's great about it is not only do the teachers get choice in, I want to learn, you know, about small group instruction from this fifth grade teacher, and I want to learn about boom learning because I've never heard about that from this fourth grade teacher. What's super awesome is that later when I have a question about it and I try it out, they are literally down the hall. And then I can ask them follow-up questions or just shoot them an email. So that was something we started last year and was by far our most popular staff meeting. I wonder why, because it was not me leading, but it was each other leading, and they got to ask each other questions. Before I keep talking, because last time I talked too much, I do have two other choice things that I would like to share with you, but any follow-up questions about each one teach one?
Hashtag, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. You're building that collaborative culture on your campus.
Right, absolutely.
Giving them leadership skills too, and they're able to share their passion, which is perfect, giving them opportunities.
And empowerment.
Right.
Absolutely. And something I've told them, we have five strands of the vision that we're trying to grow on our campus. And one of those is growing leaders. And that's, we want to grow our students as leaders, but I want to grow my staff as leaders. And so I want to give them as many leadership opportunities as possible, because we're all leaders and we are all good at something and can share and grow each other as leaders. If I'm good at something, I can grow someone else. So that's one way I personalize and give them choice. Are you ready for number two?
Yeah, yes, keep, come on.
So ready.
Okay, here we go. So another way is last year we had a professional development day. I think it was either in January or February. I'm thinking it was January, when it was one of those days, you guys have these on your campuses too, I'm sure, where it's a day with no kids. So we had this one day with no kids, and I remember throughout the year, I had like made notes. If someone had told me, hey, I wish I was better at Twitter. I don't really get Twitter. I know you're on Twitter all the time, Meredith. Can you, at a PD sometime, can you teach us about Twitter? So I'd like made a little note, you know, teach about Twitter sometime. And then another teacher at some point had said, you use video all the time. Like, you'll send us video for how to do stuff. I don't know how to do that. Can you teach us about video? Okay, write that down. And then some other people had shared other things they wanted to learn about. So then when my team was sitting down to plan, okay, what's that professional development day going to look like? I started to think, you know, oh, here's my list. Somebody wants Twitter. Somebody wants this. Somebody wants this. But then I realized we've got Twitter experts on our campus. They're not going to want to learn about Twitter. We've got people that are already making video. They're not going to want to learn about that. So for that professional development day, I recorded videos ahead of time. I recorded a video of me teaching everything I would have taught about Twitter. It was like a 10-minute video about, like, here's the basics of Twitter. Then I recorded like a 10-minute video about how to make videos like this. If you want to make these kind of videos for your kids, here's how to do it. Here's the step-by-step. Then I recorded another video. I think it was Google tips and tricks. And then I embedded each of those videos into Google Slides and kind of made a choice PD is what I called it. On the slide where the video was, on one side of the screen was a video. And on the other side, it let them know even more details, like at 0:00, I'm going to give you how to sign up for Twitter. At 32 seconds, I'm going to tell you how to send your first tweet. At 1:12, I'm going to tell you how to use hashtags. So that way they could even go, I already have a Twitter account. I need to go straight to 1:12 to learn how to use hashtags, because I know how to use Twitter, but I don't get the hashtag thing. So I put these out there. And then at the bottom, I had an extension button they could click on that took them to a Wakelet with just a bunch of other resources about that topic. So if you were on the Google page, a bunch of other resources about Google that I didn't talk about, or a bunch of other resources about Twitter. So I showed them and I told them, you need to pick one. So just pick one thing you want to learn about. You can watch my video. If you already know the stuff in the video, skip the video, go straight to the extend. You need to come away with at least one new thing you're excited about. And then we're going to come back. Then if you're done early, if that takes you 10 minutes, you learn something new, you're like, "Woo! I learned something new. I'm done." Then you can spend the rest of the day getting stuff done, planning ahead, grading some papers, calling some parents, whatever you need to do. If it takes you longer to dig in and learn, you've got the time you need. So they got to work at their own pace. But I told them, we're coming back at the end of the day and we're going to have mic drop moments. So everybody at the end of the day, we had like a pretend plastic mic and we all shared our mic drop moment. Like, this is what I learned that I'm super excited about today. And then they would drop the mic. So it's a fun way to end the day, but everybody got to learn at their own pace and just exactly what they wanted to learn. But then I got a lot of feedback from the teachers that they really appreciated that they had it all, because they could go back and reference it later.
Yes.
And almost everyone told me, I actually learned more than one thing. I was like, really? You chose to learn more than the one thing I made you learn? So that was awesome that they chose to dig a little deeper and learn a little more.
Well, the way you packaged together, like, because you threw out, you had Google Slides, you had Wakelet, you're making videos, so you're inadvertently even showing them more tools by how you're presenting the information, which is great.
We call that sneak it in.
Yes, you're just sneaking it in.
Yep, we do that too. That's
and
good.
And I've seen your presentations; they look pretty too. The design aspects. So do you have any background in marketing and design? Just out of curiosity.
I do not have a background in marketing design. However, and when I was in college, I never would have considered that, because I don't draw well. I don't think I draw well. I don't consider myself an artist. But nowadays, I think maybe if I knew what I know now about technology and about, like, I can put things together on the computer well, mm-hmm. I might have gone into that field. But I love kids too much. I know.
I'm glad you didn't go down that field.
I'm in the right field. But like, if I had to pick another job, maybe I would have done that, you know?
Right. So it's gone by really, really fast.
It really has.
So we just have a few more minutes. And I want to ask you just one or two more questions, just kind of tying it back to educational technology, because that's kind of the topic of our podcast. So tell us, what kind of pushbacks do you get from your staff, if you get any? And how do you kind of overcome those? What are some of your solutions to those problems that people seem to have?
You know, last year was my first year as principal here at Ronell, and I really didn't tell anybody, you must use technology at any point. I just tried to model it a lot. I gave lots of resources. I did lots of encouraging. When I did see great technology use, I would encourage and applaud that and point that out and try to teach new things, but at no point did I require it. But at the end of the year, I said, hey, I would like us to have a blended learning pilot, and we're bringing in some more, a blended learning coach this coming year. And I'm so excited to have her on board. Marsha Kish from DSD PD is coming in to help coach my staff this year. And so I'm so excited about that. So the staff knew, like, hey, that long-term vision, we're moving toward blended learning. And I have had some teachers that say, hey, I have some concerns about this. And the biggest concern I've heard is, I think it's going to be loud. I think it's going to be loud to have the kids moving in rotations. And so something that we do on our campus so that people can see other classrooms, because sometimes, not sometimes, I think always, a strategy is scary if you've never seen it. But once you see it, it's less scary because you can see and ask questions. And so another, as I mentioned, that sometimes we do those hashtag each one teach one, we also do hashtag watch and learn. And so about once a semester, we do a watch and learn PD. And instead of having a morning meeting, during their planning times, teachers are assigned different grade levels that they can just go in and watch and learn. And we ask them always to leave positive feedback. So I'm not going in to judge, I'm going in to watch your class and say, wow, I liked how you did this, and leave you positive feedback. Go into another room, look for something you can learn and take away. And so I am hopeful that those teachers that are worried about the volume of blended learning will see, because I see as I walk through, because I have the privilege of getting to walk in and out of all the classrooms, I see the kids are so engaged. It's not loud. It's total engagement at each of those stations. It might be loud for a second while they're changing stations, but then once they get to their station, they're super engaged. So that is one way. One, I just want to encourage them, but I also want them to see, because I'm a see it to believe it kind of person too. So I get that when people say, no, I don't think it's going to work. I'm like, let's do a watch and learn. Let's go into her classroom and see what it looks like. And then you have someone to connect with to ask questions too. How do you make that work in your classroom? So I think that's a vital way to help bring people on board with any new initiative, is to let them see it and give them someone to connect with to ask questions.
I love that so much, man. We have gotten so many great tips from you. So, gosh, I feel like we could go another hour. Still a lot. Not even tap into the wealth of knowledge that you have to share. So we really appreciate you taking the time to join us today. But I know our listeners and viewers can rewind this and hear how to get in contact with you. But if you could just repeat that one more time, if they want to follow you or reach out to you, what are some ways they can do that?
I would love to connect with any of you. My Twitter handle on Twitter is probably the best way to get in contact with me. That is at Meredith Akers. And it's M-E-R-E-D-I-T-H-A-K-E-R-S. So that's at Meredith Akers, or you can reach out on my blog. There's a place to get in contact with me there too. And my blog is meredithakers.com, spelled the same way.
So easy. And you're going to be at TCCA in Aldine, aren't you?
I am going to be at TCCA.
Ooh. We are.
Are you going to be there?
Yeah, we'll be there.
All right. I can't wait. We can connect in person.
Absolutely.
Yes, you can.
Jake Miller's there. EduTech guys are there.
I'm super pumped.
Oh my gosh. We're going to all have to get together.
There's too much knowledge in that room. I don't know.
It's going to be awesome.
Okay. Thank you so much, Meredith. All right, thanks for joining us for season 2, episode 2, and we will see you on the
Flipping Good Side of Tech.